Welcome to the Prophecy Chronicles with your host, Paul Richard Price.
And hello everyone, this is Paul Richard Price here with the inaugural show of the Prophecy Chronicles on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And my guest today is Philip J. Berg. He's an attorney at law, a constitutional scholar, and he has some interesting stories to tell about whether or not Barack Obama is the legitimate heir apparent to the throne, or if not, is he the illegal heir apparent. And Philip J. Berg is a constitutional attorney, scholar, and a lecturer, as well as an individual who believes that the Constitution itself supersedes any international forums dealing with the lessening of sovereignty due to international interference and elite interference into our governmental processes. And I'd like to thank Phil for being on the show tonight. And Phil, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. My pleasure to be on your first show, and hope you have many, many more shows on this network.
Okay, well, thank you, Phil. And Phil, why don't you just let my listeners who may not know who you are, and I don't know of many who do not, but who may not know who you are, let them know who you are right now.
Thank you. Excuse me. I am an attorney, and my big thrust right now, and that's the reason I guess I'm on the show now, is because our Constitution must be followed. There's nothing more important than our Constitution. And as that, I have filed lawsuits against Barack Obama. I start that off saying because many people think I'm a disgruntled Republican going after Obama. I happen to be a lifelong Democrat, a committee person for 31 years, chairman of the Democratic Party in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, former member of Democratic State Committee for 8 years, a candidate for United States Senate and governor on the Democratic primaries in Pennsylvania. Then people come up and say, well, he must be a racist. Well, I happen to be white, but I'm also a life member of the NAACP. So then people don't know what they ask. The real reason, like I said, I'm doing this is our Constitution must be enforced. I'm also doing this for our forefathers who put together this document. I'm doing this for the 305 million people in our country who deserve to know the truth, and I'm doing it for the 1.5 million men and women who have died over the years fighting to defend this Constitution. In addition to that, there's another 1.5 million individuals who were wounded also fighting to protect this Constitution. That's over, excuse me, that's over 3 million people. We deserve to know the truth. Just on that background, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, many people have talked to him about running for governor and what for president. What does he say? He says, amend the Constitution. What does Barack Obama say? Well, basically, he says, I don't care about the Constitution. I'm walking all over the Constitution. And that's what he has really done. It's a total disgrace. We know nothing about Barack Obama. And the national media, I wish I could sue them, has really protected him, not vetted him, over the past two-plus years.
So what you're saying right now is that we're about to get into a constitutional crisis of enormous proportions with having an heir apparent in the office of president of the presidency of the United States who shouldn't be there because of what factors. Can you tell my listeners why you believe he's not eligible?
Sure. First off, let's take a look at the Constitution, a document that was formulated over 230 years ago, and I believe this is the biggest hoax ever contemplated against the citizens of this country in the history of our country, and one person is to blame, and that's Barack Obama, who is a educated individual who went to Occidental, Columbia, and then Harvard Law School, where he was head of the Harvard Law Review. He graduated, became an attorney, and also taught constitutional law for 10 years. So he knows his status. The reason I say that is the Constitution, and believe it or not, there's no checks and balances. That's why we're in the dilemma we are today. But the Constitution provides three requirements to be president. One, you be 35 years of age. Obama is. two, you have lived in this country for 14 straight years. There's a question about that, but I'll give Obama that. Excuse me. But the third is that you'd be a natural-born citizen, and he's not, and I can explain that. There's no ifs, ands about this. Now, Barack Obama, on the campaign, significant is, and I understand they just took it down, but it's still around. Significant is that this topic's been around for about 2 years, questioning whether he is a natural-born citizen. To be natural-born, let me just explain that to try to give some continuity for your listeners. If a child is born anywhere in the continental United States, grant, the person is considered natural-born. That means if you're born here in the 48 states or Hawaii or Alaska, once they became states, you are considered natural-born. And that's why so many Mexicans sneak across the border, because they want their pregnant women come across the border because they want their child born here. Child's born here, the child is considered a natural-born U.S. citizen, entitled to all the, you know, privileges that other individuals have in this country. If, on the other hand, let's take that a step further. If mother and father, or boyfriend and girlfriend, are traveling any place in the world, and both are U.S. citizens, and the child is born any place in the world outside of the United States, that child, once the child comes back through immigration, that child is considered natural-born. Now we get into the problem when only one parent is a U.S. citizen. Then you look into the law in effect at that time. The law in effect on August 4th, 1961, was that the American citizen, in this case it's Obama's mother, had to have lived in this country for 10 straight years. She did. But the second part was 5 of those years had to be after the age of 14. 14 and 5 is 19. She only was 18 when she delivered him in, where we believe, Mombasa, Kenya. Now, again, if he was born in Hawaii, which he alleges, he's a natural born. But even if he was, I will give you facts that he was thereafter lost his citizenship, and that can occur. But we really believe he was born in Kenya, and therefore, because mom was only 18, not 19, she could not have conveyed citizenship. Now, some people start saying, well, that's only a few months, you know. Well, that's not the point. The point is that I didn't write that law. Paul, you didn't write that law. Your listeners didn't write the law. That was the law as written by the Congress. Now, the law changes, but the law has been decided in court that it's in effect at the law that you use is the law in effect at the time of the birth of the child. In this case, August 4th, 1961. So therefore, if I am correct and that he was born in Kenya, he's not natural born. Now, what's significant here is that I didn't even get involved in any of this until August of 2008, practically a year ago. But in June 2008, 2 months before I got involved, that's significant, because when that occurred, because of all this discussion on the campaign website of Obama, they put a document up called a Certification of Live Birth, or a COLB, C-O-L-B. That document at the very bottom says if there's any alteration to the document, it's not valid. By way of that document, they try to say that Obama was born in Hawaii. Well, the document has been proven, and we have it on our website. If I can mention on my website several times, I will, because we have the most comprehensive website dealing with this topic, and that's called ObamaCrimes.com. That's ObamaCrimes.com. Now, that's the place to go for the most up-to-date information, the truth of what's going on this topic, where you will find, and I'll go into that, that I have 3 pending lawsuits in the federal court system against Barack Obama, or you could really, his name, we really believe, is only Barry Soturo, because that's his name when he was adopted in Indonesia. But so it's significant is they put this document up, which they keep referring to as a birth certificate. A COLB is not a birth certificate. And if you had one for your child, because different states had them for different purposes, a COLB, you cannot register your child for Little League with it, and you cannot get a U.S. passport with it. So it's just not a birth certificate. It doesn't have the same information that you have with a birth certificate. It doesn't have the name of the hospital. It doesn't have the name and signature of the doctor. It doesn't have the length of the baby and the weight of the baby. It doesn't have this vital information. So I have stated since I first got involved here, Obama, show me your vault copy, and that would be the original copy, of your birth certificate, which would have all this information, and I'll walk away. I'll go away. But he hasn't produced that in close to a year because he can't, because I think the birth certificate he would show would be from Kenya, which would knock him out as being qualified for president. So on that basis, also, just for listeners to know, up to now, after my lawsuit, which was the first, and many other lawsuits after that, which have followed, Obama has spent over $1 million in fighting all of these lawsuits. You don't spend $1 million unless you have something to hide. And I believe he's hiding what fact? The fact that he's not natural born. Excuse me. But even if he was born in Hawaii, which I don't believe, but just for hypothetical, he lost his citizenship. In his book, he talks about his parents divorced, his mother remarried, and his stepfather returned to Indonesia before he did with his mother. When he went to Indonesia, it says he immediately went to school. Well, in the 1960s, Indonesia was at war. The only ones who could go to school there were natural born of Indonesia. Now, we know he wasn't natural born of Indonesia because we know he wasn't born there. But you were also considered natural born if you were adopted or acknowledged by your stepfather. The stepfather here being Lolo Soturo. And he did go to school because we have a copy of his school record on ObamaCrimes.com, which shows his name as Barry Soturo. It shows his nationality as being Indonesia and his religion being Islam. You know, so he comes forth and he basically lies all the time. He talks out both sides of his mouth. Now, at the age of 10, his mother sends him back to live with her parents in Hawaii. Now, one of two things occurred. He either went through U.S. immigration, but now that he was natural born, considered natural born in Indonesia because of the adoption, if he went through immigration, he would have been given a certificate of citizenship indicating that he was now only naturalized because of his adoption in Indonesia. Now, let me try to give an example for all your listeners. If I went to Kenya and adopted Barack Obama, for instance, when he was a baby, and brought the child back here, because many of your listeners adopt children from overseas, when the child came through immigration here in this country, the child then would become, and then court proceedings, the child, once I adopted the child, then would take my last name. So Barack Obama now would become Barack Berg. So that's significant because that's where we get the name Barry Soturo when he's adopted in Indonesia. And that's very, very significant. Also, the child coming here from a foreign country would be considered naturalized, not natural born. So if Barack Obama went through immigration on the way back, he would only be considered naturalized, and he could not be president of the United States because of what the U.S. Constitution says. However, he could be a U.S. senator from Illinois, which he was. However, we think he didn't go. The records indicate that he didn't go through immigration. He went back to Hawaii probably on his Indonesia passport, which he probably used when he went to Indonesia in the first place with his mom. And therefore, believe it or not, he'd be an illegal alien today, not only not able to be president, but not able to be a U.S. senator from Illinois, and his 3.5 years as a U.S. senator would have been a fraud upon the United States government. On that basis, on November 7th, 2008, I filed a lawsuit against Barry Soturo, a.k.a. Barack Obama, stating, and the case was sealed. That's the case I had for months that was sealed. People wonder why it was sealed. All cases filed under what's called the False Claims Act, or QUITAM, Q-U-I-T-A-M, are sealed. The purpose, it's mainly used in Medicaid or Medicare fraud. Supposing you know your neighbor is committing fraud on Medicaid, you would file suit against your neighbor. You would name your neighbor, and you would name the U.S. government. I mean, you'd be bringing the action on behalf of yourself and behalf of the U.S. government. But you would not be serving your neighbor, because for 60 days you would serve the government, and the government would have 60 days to review the case to make one of three decisions: for them to pursue it, them to step down and you, the relator, it would be called a relator who filed the action to pursue it, or to dismiss the case. Well, very few are ever dismissed. The reason sometimes they would give it to the relator to proceed is because they don't want to spend the time, energy, or money. Now, if there is a recovery, the relator would get a certain percentage of the recovery. So I believe, and I filed the action, saying that Obama was a fraud for the 3.5 years, and therefore close to $1 million in salary and benefits that went to him should be returned to the U.S. Treasury. The law is strange on that. We had a hearing recently, about a month ago, in Washington, D.C., where I filed the action. Because it's a sealed case, you can't discuss it. We got to the courtroom that day. They said, is everyone here? And we said, yes. They locked the door. There's windows on the back door. The windows were actually covered. And the proceedings began with no visitors, no one else in the courtroom. So it's really sealed. The judge then comes out and says, well, in our district, because the federal district court for the District of Columbia has its own court of appeals, because so many actions are filed against the federal government, they said, here the Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has ruled that I, the judge, have no input in this case. So therefore, after you make your presentation, Mr. Berg, it will be up to the Department of Justice to make a decision whether, and the Attorney General, whether they will pursue this case, whether they will let you pursue this case, or whether they will dismiss the case. So guess what they did? At the end of the thing, the judge says, I have no input. What did the Attorney General want to do here? And they said, we want to dismiss the case. Well, since then, I filed what's called a motion for reconsideration, because I found a statute that it's blatantly a violation of conflict of interest for the Attorney General, Eric Holder, to even be involved in this decision-making. Now, even though it wasn't him, it was his underlings, it still goes back to him because of this reason. Number one, he served on the campaign committee of Barack Obama. Number two, he was on the selection committee of Barack Obama for vice president candidate. And then number three, he now works directly for the president, so there's a direct conflict of interest. The government asked for an extension. They have till next week to file a response on that. And if they won't reconsider, I think I have a fabulous appeal issue because there's no way that the Attorney General should be involved. Now, I asked the Attorney General to do one of two things, to allow me to proceed as the relator and or to appoint a special prosecutor to either proceed with this or to review the case. So we'll have to see what happens on that. So that was my case from November 8th. Am I talking too much or do you want to break in here? I can keep going and going. How you doing?
Well, I'm getting some feedback through the chat room right now, and
right.
I wanted to relay this to you, some of the ideas that our listeners are coming up with right now. Like one brought up the mere fact, and let me go ahead and pull this up again, that Dr., I think it's Jaiomi Fukino,
right,
said that she has, quote-unquote, personally seen and verified the Hawaii State Department of Health has Senator Obama's original birth certificate on record in accordance with state policies and procedures. Now, could you just give us some feedback about that?
Sure. Now, the thing is that if everyone goes back to that press release, and I think we have it posted somewhere on our website, but if people go back and look, that doctor made a statement. Two individuals made a statement. They said, we have looked at and we have seen the original birth certificate of Barack Obama, and it's here under seal. What they didn't say is, and I have to disagree with the person in the chat room, is that they did not say that it was from Hawaii. They didn't say it was from Kenya either. They left that open. They did not, but they specifically did not say it was a Hawaiian birth certificate. So I'd ask that person to recheck it, that press release, they can find it. It didn't say that, so I have to disagree with that person. The only thing the governor said out there, the governor made some statement that the documents are sealed. So I hope that clarifies that issue.
Well, plus another, the same individual even brought up about the photos of Obama's birth certificate with the official Hawaii state seal on it. And
well,
I've heard that, you know, it.
Well, that's completely wrong, too, because the document that they produced is not a birth certificate. They produce what's called a CULB, Certification of Live Birth. which is not a birth certificate. They put one up on their campaign website, and then factcheck.org, which is owned by Annenberg, and Annenberg of Chicago was the Obama sat on the board and I think was even chairman or president of that committee. One had a seal, one didn't have the seal. But I don't care if it had a seal or not. It was not the birth certificate. It was the certification of live birth without the hospital, without the doctor's name, without the doctor's signature, without the length of the baby, without the weight of the baby. So that document has been proven, and we have a long dissertation on that on our website, ObamaCrimes.com, whereas that document has proved to be a fraud.
And also the fact, too, that the governor sealed it because there were too many people, quote-unquote, demanding copies of it, and they bogged down the request system. Now, I've never heard of that ever happening before.
Well, they basically said, and we did a Freedom of Information on it, they basically said that they can't release the document unless it's being requested by a family member. And so they made it go get Barack Obama to authorize the release of it. You got to remember this, for all your listeners out there who need their birth certificate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in their lifetime, as I said, Little League or passport, or for college or for driver's licenses in some places, for entrance to colleges, different times, different requirements for baptism. If you don't have your birth certificate, you can get a new copy, a new certified copy of a vault copy of the original birth certificate within a week, paying anywhere between $5 and $20. So why hasn't Obama spent up to $20 to do this? Instead, he spends over $1 million hiding what? We know nothing about Barack Obama. All of his records are sealed. Why?
Well, and I've got a question of my own right now that I've asked you before in previous interviews. But for clarification, you're not necessarily against Barack Obama per se, as a person or a individual, are you?
No, I'm not.
It's only the mere fact that he has pulled a ruse over the American public.
That's correct. That's correct, because there's nothing more important than our U.S. Constitution. The foundation of this Constitution has been countries around the world, many of them have fought to duplicate either our Constitution or the form of government we have, because we've survived over 230 years, and we are basically the master. And for Barack Obama to walk all over this Constitution, it's a total disgrace. Like, look, see, I don't want to get into issues, because that's the main issue, but there's so many things he's done differently now. He's just trying to do his own way. The appointment of, I think, up to 20 czars is a way of circumventing the Constitution. Because the Constitution says for the cabinet, they must be approved by the Senate. These czars don't have to be approved, and under each czar that's being created is spending between $5 and $20 million the time you're done with the staff and everything else. I'm not trying to go in the issues of Obama, but when you start following the issues, what he's just doing whatever he wants to do. He doesn't care about the foundations of this government. But the reason I'm out here doing this is the Constitution must be followed.
Well, and I know for a fact that you're a constitutionally trained lawyer. I mean, one of the things you actually practice in your law firm, if I'm correct. So you're an expert in this.
Well, thank you. You know, I've done a number of cases on this, but I even ask, you don't get a response back from anyone saying the Constitution, I'm interpreting the Constitution wrong. Everyone just comes back and says that Obama was born in Hawaii. Well, if he was born in Hawaii, where is the record that he was born there? Where is the vault copy of his birth certificate? But again, I state that even if he was, he lost it when he went through Indonesia and how he came back to this country. And there's one other thing here on Barack Obama. At the age of 20, in 1981, he mentions in his book that he went to Pakistan. Well, Pakistan was off limits in 1981 to U.S. citizens. They were prohibited from going there. So how did he go there? Well, according to the information we have, he went there on his Indonesia passport. Now, and he went with two friends. Well, if he was a U.S. citizen and had a U.S. passport and couldn't go, and then went and got an Indonesia passport, he would be doing an act against, an overt act against the United States, and therefore, he would not be able to continue it would affect his citizenship of being natural born. So there's a lot of things, a lot of explaining, but the media doesn't ask it. And it's really, in my opinion, a total disgrace.
Well, let me ask you this, too, and I think it's pretty much what the others are thinking in the chat room, and I've asked you this before. It was rumored that, and this is what the press was trying to tout when you originally started bringing up these legal actions against Barack Obama, that you at one time had an affiliation with Secretary of State Clinton, and that you were doing this to, you know, help her because she had lost her campaign against Barack Obama. Now, I've talked to you before, and I believe that, you know, that's not the case. However, can you clarify that with my listeners right now?
Sure can. I've been a candidate, as I mentioned before. I've been a campaign manager. I've worked at all levels of campaigns, and my most significant going back a number of years was I was on the Vance staff of Vice President Hubert Humphrey back in 1968. I've worked at all levels. With the Hillary campaign, I was not a member of her national staff, state staff, local staff, anything. I did some volunteer work for her from my office, making phone calls, perhaps spending 10 hours or 15 hours making phone calls. I contributed probably a couple $100 to her campaign, nowhere near the $2,400 limit that you were allowed to do. And in thinking through this, because I've been asked a number of times, I didn't even have a lawn sign on my lawn. So, yes, I was a supporter, very little support, and this has nothing to do with doing anything for Hillary campaign. I've had no contact with anyone directly or indirectly that I know of from her campaign from the time I got involved in this up to the present time.
Well, and since you're the expert on this, I want you to dispel some of the rumors that have been going on about, you know, in the press recently and on the Internet, dealing with supposedly a court case that had to deal with a third party that was suing Barack Obama to try to get his college transcripts, and then supposedly something went on there. Maybe you can actually clarify that for my listeners.
Yes, and the supposed, there's a supposed AP, Associated Press, story going around that Occidental College released these records indicating that he was foreign-born. The statement is a fraud. It's a phony. We checked with the Associated Press. That's why our website, ObamaCrimes.com, has all the correct information. The Associated Press never put out that story. Occidental never released any records. That same story refers to the fact that Judge Scalia is going to conference the case of Donna Frio out of New Jersey. Well, that Donna Frio case was conferenced 3-4 months ago, so it has nothing to do. It's just a phony release, and it's a shame people have to do things like that to hurt the movement. And unfortunately, there's no basis for that. And we're checking, like right now, someone supposedly was selling the certified copy of his birth certificate on eBay, and eBay took it off several times. So there's a lot of phonies out there. Right now, there's no hardcore evidence one way or the other, but because of that, I really believe that we have him, that he is not constitutionally eligible to be president of the United States.
Well, Kane, since you bring that up, I would like to bring up a point here. What, or a question for you right now, what is, in your opinion, any of the new stuff that you can tell my listeners right now regarding your cases, and let alone any new cases that are being brought up in court dealing with this particular issue?
Well, number one, my first case, which was filed August 21st, 2008. That's significant because it was filed before the Democratic National Committee. We sued Barack Obama, and also we sued the Democratic National Committee. Both individuals, of course, wanted a Democratic president, but I think there were two different roles to play there. The Obama obviously wanted to be president, but the Democratic National Committee, in my opinion, had a responsibility to make sure that their candidate was properly vetted and that their candidate was qualified to be president of the United States. And that was before the Democratic National Convention. I expected, it didn't happen, I think there's collusion there. I expected Howard Dean, the head at that time of the Democratic National Committee, to have called in Obama and said, what's the story here? Prove, show me that you're natural born. He didn't do that, obviously, because it went on and he was nominated. And at the end of September, when they filed a joint motion to dismiss, I was horrified because it showed that there was collusion between these parties. That case, part of that case went up to the judge dismissed that case saying I didn't have standing, which meant that I didn't have standing, Paul, you didn't have standing, none of your listeners had standing. We took part of that case up to the U.S. Supreme Court to try to get various injunctions, but we didn't get those. But the case is still alive and well. It's in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and we just got a scheduled argument date for September or October, I don't have it in front of me, of this year to argue that case. So that's important for people to keep watching for. As I stated, the sealed case is now sealed, and we have pending for the government to respond by next week, and especially Eric Holder, whether there's a conflict of interest or not. So they had asked, their response was due this week. They asked for a week extension. I gave it to them. And also, there's a third case, which was filed December 31st. I say third, filed by December 31st, 2008, on behalf of retired Air Force Colonel Hollister, who sued Obama, stating in an interpleader action, if I am recalled for duty, do I accept, follow the order because it's coming from a valid, legit president, or do I not honor that order because it's coming from a usurper or someone who does not belong in that office? The judge threw that case out, saying that we were frivolous. It was a frivolous case. It's not frivolous. It's now on appeal to the Circuit Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia. We're working on the file of fourth action, which would be called a quo warranto, stating that he does not have a person does not have a right to the position they're in. Now there is a pending quo warranto out of New Jersey, but with many other actions against it, they filed Jersey, we'll be filing one shortly. But we're the best place to look, and right now what we're trying to do is raise the public awareness. That's why any of your listeners here, what I would like them to do is go to their, read our website, ObamaCrimes.com, go to your address book, send it to everyone on your address book, and ask them to send it on to everyone in their address book, and on and on and on. I believe that the public awareness is about 20 million. We have to raise it to 75 million. When we can, we will make a difference because, like right now, we're putting for our website, we're drafting some flyers that people can download and copy and hand out to make people aware of this topic. We'll be having a campaign to raise funds to have billboards. Like WorldNet Daily has come out with a campaign for signs, and I think that it's a waste of time and money because their signs say, where's your birth certificate? So for people that know about the topic, it's great, but people that don't know about it, I don't think someone driving down the road with no idea about it, seeing a sign, where's your birth certificate, will equate that to Obama. We want to put up billboards stating, Obama, where is your birth certificate? And therefore people can see that and say, hey, you know, if they don't know about it, they could go home and they could Google Obama birth certificate and they could read up on this. So that's what we're trying to raise money. They cost thousands of dollars for billboards, so we're asking people to do that. Raise the public awareness. Go to our website, ObamaCrimes.com. Help us. Like one day we might come up with suggestions for everyone on a certain day to call the White House switchboard. Everyone the next day to call ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News. But we're thinking about, you know, how to proceed and what to do on this. And also, like for instance, if we had five people, Obama, where is your birth certificate? Six people with signs, Obama, where's your birth certificate? Making these signs up, standing at over a freeway bridge or an entrance to a highway during rush hour, you can affect between 5,000 and 20,000 people, depending how many, you know, how busy the intersection is. So the key now is public awareness, because if we get the public behind us, we can demand Obama show us. Are you constitutionally eligible? If you are, show us, produce the documentation. And if not, out of there. You belong out of office. So we are, as you mentioned earlier, not only are we in a financial crisis in this country, we're in a constitutional crisis, I believe, already, because, in my opinion, everything that Obama has done Every order he signed, every appointment he's made, everything is void or voidable because he's a usurper. He has no right to be in that office. Some people contact me and say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, takes like a doctor. You find out that the doctor you've been going to, after 20 years, you find out that he never passed his medical license. Do they just say, okay, sorry about that? No, they do it. They arrest him, try and prosecute him because he was violated the law. Same thing with a lawyer practicing, without a license. So Obama has no rights to be there. If he doesn't meet the qualifications, he should be out of there. Actually, I believe that when all is said and done, Barack Obama, his wife Michelle Obama, Howard Dean, the former head of the Democratic National Committee, other officials at the Democratic National Committee last year, campaign officials and now administration officials, top level, who know what's going on, also should be taken into our criminal justice system, and they should be tried, and those convicted should go to jail. I believe there's a real basis, if I'm correct, that Obama is an illegal alien. He should be tried, jailed, and after that he should be deported. I know, and what I'm saying here is really serious, serious stuff. Excuse me. But I believe in it. I believe in it, and we have to do it to restore the basic truth in our government, the basic premise that this government will work based upon our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Well, let me also bring up a point, and I'm reading the interactions right now within people, and I know that there are a lot of people right now who are Barack Obama supporters in the chat room, and I can understand how you feel and why there's a lot of even some negative feedback due to the show tonight. But let me make a point to every one of you right now. Barack Obama is just one individual. He's an individual who's now has pretty much what I do believe. He's the puppet, and he has some people in the background, his puppet masters, telling him what to do. Now, if he's not legitimately supposed to be the president, then this sets a very negative precedent that a lot of you may not, agree with or not, but it's something for you to think about. If we allow him, and I have nothing against Barack Obama, I don't know the man, I've only heard some things, and what we're seeing right now only further tells me that he's not really the right person for the office, and it doesn't matter if he's black, white, or whatever. The issue about this is, he's one person, let alone if we allow this precedence to be set years later. Down the line, a foreign national, a more dictatorial leader might come and run for office under the same type of platform that Barack Obama has. And then if we try to tell him, well, you can't be president, you weren't born here. And he could bring up the fact, well, neither was Barack Obama. These are things we have to look at, people. Like I said, I'm not against Barack Obama personally. I don't know the man. I wish that he, I hope that he does the best for the country. However, what we have to look at is the mere fact that if he's not supposed to be in there, it does develop a constitutional crisis. All the laws that he comes up with in his illegitimate presidency would be put under question after he leaves office. Two, if we allow him to do it, then why don't we allow, let's say, an Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a guy whose family members were Nazis. He's from Austria. Why not allow him to become president as well? He wasn't born here either. The point is, though, if we allow one person to do it and to get away with it, then it sets a precedence where we have to allow other individuals to do the same thing. Now, when are we going to draw the line here and tell people, enough's enough? Right now we're looking at the eroding of our constitutionally protected rights, not only under Obama, but even under the previous Bush administrations. And if we look at that, when are we, as individuals in our country, going to stand up, stand firm for our rights, and not let them be taken away? And part of that is, vote smart, learn about your candidates, what Phil here is trying to do is not only educate you, but awaken you to the possibility that the man that you voted for may not be a legitimate president. He has his rights to his opinions, as we all do, but he has documentation and exploratory evidence to back up what he's saying. Most of you have heard most of this on national public radio, on television and all, where you know that they're going to have a bias. Try to listen to it with an open mind, because, you know, this information is very important. Now, if you'd like to continue, I'm sorry about going on that rant, Phil. But...
Oh, no. I mean, that's the important thing, and for your listeners, I'm doing this to protect our Constitution. And it, I stated even when I first filed my first lawsuit back on August 21st, 2008, if I am wrong, show me I'm wrong. Produce your vote copy of your birth certificate and I don't go away. But since that time, we've been able to research him further, and now I would want to see his vote copy of his birth certificate. I'd want to see the paperwork he got when he came back through immigration at the age of 10, or I'd want to see his reaffirmation of his oath of allegiance to our country, which he took between the ages of 18 and 23. I'd want to see these documents. I'd want to see legal change of names after his name was adopted in Indonesia as Barack, Barry Sotoro. I'd like to see documents legally changing his name to Barack Hussein Obama, which is what he signed for in each state, which is he broke the law in every state as far as I'm concerned. And I'd like to see all those paperwork. But until we see that paperwork, you know, I really believe that he is an illegal alien. He doesn't belong in this country. It's a total disgrace what he's doing. And some people say, well, Mr. Berg or Phil, the reason that nothing's going to happen here is that people are afraid that if you legally remove him from office, there's going to be riots in the street. Well, let me explain this. As far as I'm concerned, when I legally remove him from office, I will ask all the religious leaders in this country, all the political leaders in this country, to get together for a massive press conference, at which time stating, why are you going to destroy property? Why are you going to injure and kill people? When the only person to blame here is one person, Barack Hussein Obama. He should be held responsible. He should come out and tell the truth about it, if he can tell the truth. You know, because, and the reason I say that is so often he talks, you know, out of both sides of his mouth. But I just want the truth. And there shouldn't be riots in the streets, and there should be no difficulty in this country, but the rule of law must be followed. Obama states that his administration will be the most open, transparent administration in the history of our country. Duh, how can it be open and transparent when we know nothing about you? You know, why are your college records sealed? I believe, and I'm the first one that came out, I believe that his college records are sealed because they will show that he applied for and received foreign aid indicating that he was either from Kenya or Indonesia. And that's why. So prove me wrong, Obama. Prove me wrong. But don't spend $1 million fighting all these lawsuits if, you know, if I'm wrong. And I know that I'm not wrong.
Well, and the one thing I want to bring up right now, since we have just a few more minutes left with you on the show, is the mere fact that, you know, you have nothing against Barack Obama, do you, if I'm correct on that?
That's correct.
Okay, and for my listeners right now, if you have nothing against Barack Obama, bottom line, are you right now doing this to try to help secure the Constitution and to make sure that it's not just a, you know, a simple little paper, you know, a piece of paper that we're all, you know?
Well, I am doing this because it is a paper which is a foundation of this country. It's a foundation that people have fought and died for over the past 230 plus years. It's a document that other nations around the world try to duplicate or try to follow or try to establish countries based upon what we did, what our forefathers fought for. We fought to break away from England so we could do this. And, you know, why did we, you know, why did we do this? We did this for what purpose? We did this to form a better union, a nation which has worked around the world. And when it started out, there was things in there that have changed over the years. you know, they've changed because originally women weren't considered and blacks weren't considered, and their rights are fine. But the point is that it hasn't been changed about the requirements for president. I think it's very, very significant, and I think that the document must be followed, and I think that it's so important.
Okay, and another thing, you are a card-carrying member, if I'm correct, of the NAACP, if I'm correct, as well.
That's
this
correct.
Just to, okay, being that you are a member of that, then basically it's not a race issue with you at all.
It's not a race issue. It's not a political issue. You know, it's a it's an issue for the Constitution. Must be followed.
Okay, and we have only a couple of minutes left, so let me ask you, if you would, do you have any contact information? And like you said, ObamaCrimes.com. And would you like to give out any phone numbers or any other information?
Well, they can call. You know, we have a number, and it's published right on our website. I mean, I'm not afraid to talk to people. You know, the number is 610-662-3005. Be glad to speak to people. The best place to go and put your comments there. And if you can make a contribution, we need it now to get more people involved. ObamaCrimes.com has the most information possible. All the pleadings of our cases are there. All the facts are there. OBAMA, Obama Crimes, OBAMACRIMES.com. That's the place to go. There's phone numbers on there. There's contact numbers on there. You can send us messages on there. But most important, read about it. If you're, I don't care what your position is now. If you disagree with me, read it. Wake up. You know, we're looking for documentation. Prove me wrong. But everything I'm doing here is up front, on target, trying to find out the truth here. And please, we want to spread it to more and more individuals. And we need your support and money so we can put up signs that really can expand the width of this so more and more people can understand this. And I really appreciate Paul being on your show.
Okay, and I'd like to thank you for being my guest on my show tonight. And for future reference, the Prophecy Chronicles show will deal with many different types of subjects for my listeners tonight. I'm a, for your information, I'm the son of a Roswell witness, Paul Oliver Bryce. And I do shows dealing not only with politics, but also with other areas, genres, dealing with the Illuminati, UFOs, government cover-ups, and everything to encompass a line where you can actually get to the truth. The information that you hear on the show will be the truth, and what you do with that truth is up to you. And I hope that you will learn something from this and have the opportunity to take from it, learn, and possibly be able to be a better person for it at the very end. And to Joe Montaldo, my producer tonight for this show, I'd like to thank you again. Thank the UFO Paranormal Radio Network for allowing me to do my show on your network. And for all the other co-hosts and listeners on this network, God bless you. Thank you. And one more thing for Joe, real quickly. I had a computer error where it had a crash on Pal Talk, so I'm going to have to probably get you to go ahead and start the closeout for the show right now. You'll be able to listen to the show at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, which is 10 o'clock Central and 11 Eastern, as well as 8 o'clock Pacific time. So I'd like to thank all of you. God bless, and you have a great day.